what is heaven really going to be like? Well, I think in the practical matter, it's going to be wonderful because we're going to see our Savior. We're going to see Jesus. I have a feeling that everything else is going to somehow seem a little insignificant in the light of His glory. For the Bible tells us we don't need the sun, the moon, or the stars anymore. The Lamb is all the light we need. Imagine looking into His face for the first time.
Smoke of Babylon still rises, but in heaven, a new sound breaks through. The voice of a great multitude shouting, "Hallelujah! The rebellion of the earth has been judged, and now the glory of God fills the courts of heaven. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride, clothed in fine linen, clean and bright, is ready. This is the moment all of history has been waiting for. The King returns, and the saints rejoice." This is day one of our study in Revelation chapter 19, the marriage of the Lamb. And here to open the scriptures is Bible teacher and author David Hawking. It's coming your way next on Hope for Today. First, a quick word about our powerful daily devotional from David. It's called Meditations in the Psalms. Each day, David takes you straight into the heart of God's Word for honest, clear, and unfiltered truth and encouragement and hope from the book of Psalms. It's fuel for your faith, real scriptures for your real life. And you can read it every day on our website, davidhawking.org. That's Meditations in the Psalms at davidhawking.org. Now let's join David as he begins our study in Revelation chapter 19. It's day one of the marriage of the Lamb.
"And after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He had judged the great whore who did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of His servants at her hand.' And again they said, 'Hallelujah! And her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshiped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and like the voice of many waters, and like the voice of mighty peals of thunder or thunder claps, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at His feet to worship Him. And He said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Will you join me, please, in a word of prayer? Father, we thank You for Your wonderful Word. How our hearts are lifted to praise Your glorious and marvelous name, the name that is above every name, the name that every knee will one day bow to and every tongue will confess that He's Lord to the glory of God the Father. Lord, we thank You that the King of Kings and Lord of Lords will one day be praised, such as we have described here in Revelation 19, and we'll be a part of that glorious day. Father, how we long to see the fulfillment of Your Word. Some of us no doubt have had a day that makes us long to go home to be with the Lord. Maybe there have been burdens and stresses and problems and heartaches and hurts that have reminded us again that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall one day be revealed. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we'll appear with him in glory. One day we're going to see him face to face. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. The word lamb, of course, is a feature here in this section, the marriage supper of the lamb. The lamb appears 27 times in English, but the Greek word for lamb actually appears 29 times in Revelation. And I guess everyone who looks at this passage notices the four hallelujahs in this text. Verse 1, hallelujah. Verse 3, hallelujah. Verse 4, hallelujah. Verse 6, hallelujah. We want you to notice three things. In the opening six verses, of course, the praise of God is being proclaimed in heaven. And John takes us up there to take a look at what is going on in glory. One of the greatest things about heaven, let's face it, is going to be seeing Jesus. You know, over in Revelation, if you just turn over chapter 22, it says in verse 3 that there will be no more curse. Revelation 22:3, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face. Isn't that wonderful? We're going to see the face of the Lord Jesus. You ask, what is heaven really going to be like? And here we're ushered into this glorious scene in heaven, and it's almost so awesome you can't get a handle on it. You're just thrust right in all this praise that's going on. What's it really going to be like? Well, I think in the practical matter, it's going to be wonderful because we're going to see our Savior. We're going to see Jesus. I have a feeling that everything else is going to somehow seem a little insignificant in the light of his glory. For the Bible tells us we don't need the sun, the moon, or the stars anymore. The Lamb is all the light we need. And the brilliance of the Lamb of God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Imagine looking on the face of the one who flung the worlds into existence. The Bible says everything's being sustained by the word of his power. Imagine looking into his face for the first time. You see, that's what Revelation is really all about. It's about Jesus, and if you didn't see that, you better go back and read it again. The theme of it is the revelation, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. That's what the book is all about. So it's not the focus here on the church being married to Jesus. The focus is on the marriage of the Lamb. And, oh yes, his wife has made herself ready. It's important how you see it. All heaven is breaking out in praise for what God has done in his great victory over Babylon the Great. Now, as we look at the praise of God being proclaimed in heaven in the opening six verses, there are three things that I draw to your attention that I think are encouraging and worthy of us taking note. One would be the multitude who gives this praise to God. And there are several people involved. Verse 1 simply says, much people. You say, how many folks are going to be in heaven? I don't know. Some people say, well, there'll be a lot more people than you think. But then again, there may be a lot of folks not there that you thought would be there. But there's going to be much people there. And by the way, the real church in heaven is being assembled according to Hebrews chapter 12. And when you die, you come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels and saints and just people from the Old Testament days, as well as the church of Jesus Christ. You talk about people, there are much people in heaven. It's going to be filled with people. Aren't you glad God's into people? He loves people. I thought about it the other day as I went shopping with my wife at the South Coast Plaza. I don't know if anybody has given you some real important insight lately, but I would recommend you not go on Saturday afternoon. First of all, it takes a couple of hours to find a parking place amidst great hostility. And then once you do, you have to stand in lines waiting to buy something you don't want anyway. But it's very interesting, that experience. But I thought of all these people, you know, wall-to-wall people, pushing, shoving, trying to get their things and all of that. And yet, hey, in heaven, God says there are going to be much people there. The Lord delights in his people. The Bible says there's so many of them, you can't count them. People from every nation, tribe, tongue, and people. Much people are in heaven. But we also want to focus on what it says in verse 4. In this multitude are the 24 elders, whom we've seen before, whom we argue is the completed body of Christ, the Church of Jesus Christ in heaven. Elders representing the Church of Christ, as is clear from the passages of Paul to Timothy and Titus. The elders are representative. The 24 remind us of the 24 courses of priests who represented the entire nation of Israel. Therefore, the 24 number, as it's used in the Bible, is a representative number of a completed body of people. And we have the completed Church of Jesus Christ. They're not 24 priests, though all believers are called priests. God doesn't want any of us to make a mistake here. They are 24 elders that are there in heaven. Go back to chapter 4, verse 9 to 11. And it's interesting that as you observe this group throughout the book of Revelation, they're always praising God. They're in this great celebration. In chapter 4, verse 9, it says, when the beast, these living creatures, these cherubim angels, give glory and honor and thanks to him that sits on the throne who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sits on the throne and worship him that lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Chapter 5, verse 11, I beheld, heard the voice of many angels around the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. 10,000 is the highest number in the Greek mathematical system. And thousands of thousands. If that wasn't enough, God adds another term to just tell you, hey, we're talking lots of folks here who are praising the Lord. And look what they do again in chapter 5, verse 14. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever. Now go back to chapter 19. There's much people in heaven. The 24 elders representing the completed body of Christ, the church, is in heaven. And we also have the four beasts, or living creatures. As we learned earlier in our study in Revelation, quotations from Ezekiel in the opening chapters, it's referring to cherubim angels. There are four of them who are the worship leaders of heaven, one on each side of the throne of God. And whatever they do, all heaven responds. They're stirring everybody up. They're the final best worship team ever to have been devised by God. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful day. But they're also praising God. Back in chapter 4, where we just read a moment ago, just flip back there again. And in verse 6 to 8, you see that the four beasts, that's what they do. They're constantly praising the Lord. It says in verse 6, in the middle of it, round about the throne, were four beasts full of eyes, and before and behind, and the first one was like a lion, the second like a calf, the third like the face of a man, and the fourth was like a flying eagle. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about them. They were full of eyes within. They rest not day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Well, you don't need to sleep up there, so don't worry about them not resting. No sack time necessary. Going to have brand new glorified bodies, and these angels, they're just praising God night and day. Can you imagine what it's going to be like the first time you hit glory and just hear this praise and this singing? And some of you turn in notes once in a while about it's too loud. And the only thing I can say that, you know, will be helpful to you is God's going to one day change your ears because he likes loud. It's going to be very loud in heaven. Some people say, well, I don't want to go. It's too loud. Well, the alternative is not good, believe me. But God likes it loud. It's going to be loud everywhere. People singing, hallelujah, Lord God, omnipotent reign. Over here, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Goes on day and night. Constant praise of the Lord. That's why when the church gathers, one of the big events of their gathering should be worship and praise. That's what it's all about. Look at chapter 5. The beasts keep going there. Verse 8, when he had taken that book, that scroll, the four beasts and the elders fell down before the Lamb. They fall down too before the Lamb. See, the angels of God worship the Lord. You knew that, didn't you? Hebrews 1:6 says, when he brought the firstborn in the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Yet in the same book of Revelation, you're not to worship angels. Jesus is not an exalted angel. Jesus is God Almighty, and you're to worship only God. Yet all the angels are instructed, including the four worship leaders of heaven, to worship Jesus. They fall down before the Lamb, just like the Church of Jesus Christ will. Kind of interesting. Also in chapter 5, verse 11, it mentions them again, not only the many angels, but the four living creatures and the elders. They're all there worshiping God. Look at verse 14. Here's their special role. They're the what we call the Amen corner of heaven. It says the four beasts said, and literally it's they kept on saying, Amen. Every time you come up and say, who are you guys? Amen, amen, amen. What's going on up here? Amen, amen, amen. Well, you know where my mansion is? Amen, amen, amen. They only break it up and say, holy, 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 Lord God of hosts. Amen, amen, amen. Well, what should I do now that I'm here? Fall down. Amen, amen, amen. Is everybody getting into this? It's going to be a great day. Go back to Revelation 19. Revelation 19. There's one little other phrase to kind of describe this multitude who gives praise to God. I like this. It says in verse 5, all ye his servants. Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. Isn't that just a precious touch from the Lord? It doesn't matter how insignificant you may think you are in the body of Christ here. Hey, it doesn't matter how small your ministry or your little part of the world for the Lord. Hey, both small and great, they're all going to be doing the same thing. Praising God, all ye his. What an interesting description of all the saints. Ye servants. Servants. God wants us to be servants. And what a beautiful description of the multitude he gives praise. I just wonder, you do know, don't you, that the real spirit, the real heart and soul of what prophecy is all about is the testimony concerning Jesus. It's the record about Jesus. What prophecy is all about is Jesus. Don't miss it. Worship God and exalt Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for your wonderful word, for the reminders to us again of what the praise of heaven will be all about, how we'll be there rejoicing with the saints of all the ages. What a glorious day it's going to be. Father, we want everybody to go with us. We want to introduce as many men and women and boys and girls to Jesus Christ as we possibly can until he comes. And Lord, for those listening right now who are not sure of their own relationship to you through Jesus Christ, help them to understand clearly that there is no other way. We must be washed in the blood of the Lamb. It was Jesus who died on the cross for our sins. Our sins must be paid for. It was Jesus who rose again, now glorified, one day going to return. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand that the garment we need is a garment washed in the blood of the Lamb. That the one doing the inviting is our Lord Jesus, who stands at the door and knocks. And if we hear his voice and open the door, he said, I will come in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The message of salvation is found in many passages of God's word. I like the one in Acts 4. Peter is speaking, and he was filled with the Holy Spirit and said, you rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he's made whole, be it known unto you all that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, For there's none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Listen, folks, no one else can save you from sin, death, and hell except our Lord Yeshua. His Hebrew name is Yehoshua, and it means the Lord is salvation. There's no salvation in any other name. You have to turn to the Lord. Romans 10 says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
That's Bible teacher and author David Hocking, and this is Hope for Today. If you'd like to find out more about what it means to be a Christian, according to the Bible, reach out and we'll send you two free gifts, and free means free. The first is David's booklet called What is Christianity? And the second, a Bible study that we send you by mail. These resources are free for new believers or for you if you don't yet know Jesus Christ, but you'd like to know more. Call 800-75-BIBLE to get yours, 800-75-24253, or in Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE, 888-75-24253, and you can also request them using the contact form on our website, davidhocking.org. And David's back in just a moment or two with his final comments on today's study time, so do stick around for that. First, though, Matt's here, and together we're going to tell you about a resource that offers solid answers from God's Word to some of the biggest questions that you and those around you have in your life. Matt?
This month, Jim, we're featuring our book, Life's Greatest Questions. And let me just read a few quick lines from it. Many have no time for God, choosing rather to ignore and neglect his role and importance in their lives. But what has all this secularism and individualism produced? Is there a greater degree of happiness? Has our nation been delivered from its psychological troubles? Do our marriages and families reveal the blessings of selfism?
Are we closer to peace on earth, Matt? No, we're not. No. Our questions of poverty, alcoholism, drug abuse, pornography, divorce, abortion, venereal disease, you pick the issue. Are these problems diminishing or increasing?
And is everything answered by money?
No.
It's time for intellectual honesty and courage.
Yeah, what are we looking for?
What do we hope to discover by our obsession with pleasure and personal needs?
And does God have anything to say about our experiences?
Does he exist?
Does he care?
Is there anything he can do about our dilemmas?
Wow. Can he make us happy? Life's greatest questions are consistently dealt with in one book. And of course, that's the Bible. Its message, Matt, is like fresh air in a polluted atmosphere.
It speaks with authority and clarity about human life and its problems.
It sure does. And Matt, these questions address pressing issues in our culture today.
In many churches and even in our families, Jim, and it's crucial we have the answers.
Life's Greatest Questions by David Hocking takes us into, where does it take us, Matt?
Scripture for wisdom and answers.
Scripture. The Bible can be trusted in every respect, and it answers our deepest needs, doesn't it?
Amen. Life's Greatest Questions, our featured offer is just $10.
Yeah, and your purchase will prepare, strengthen, and bring great blessing to your life. It'll also be a blessing to your family and friends, and your purchase will help the ministry of Hope for Today. To get your copy of Life's Greatest Questions by David Hocking, call 800-75-BIBLE, that's in the U.S., or 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. You can also order online at davidhocking.org. And by the way, while you're on the website, do take a look at some of the many other resources we have on the subject of Babylon and hundreds of other topics. You're going to find sermon notes, audio series, in-depth studies that give you a stronger grip on what God's Word reveals about the last days. And also, if you'd like to stand with us beyond your resource purchase, we'd love to hear from you. Your prayers and your financial support, they are so very crucial to helping us stay on the air and online with this Bible teaching ministry, keeping God's Word going forth. Send a donation by mail to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S8P1. Or call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE, 888-75-BIBLE in Canada to send a gift, or donate online at davidhocking.org. Let's get back to David.
Well, today we're still finishing our study of Revelation
as it relates to chapter 19. And we're just getting started there. And we're told that all heaven is going to break out rejoicing when they see that the great whore, Babylon the Great, that corrupted the earth, they're going to see the vengeance of God against the blood that she has shed of his servants and prophets. And they're going to sing, Hallelujah! And the 24 elders representing the church of our Lord in heaven, they're going to fall down with the four worship leaders of heaven, the cherubim angels, and they're going to say, Amen, Hallelujah, praise our God, all you servants, and a voice of a great multitude as the voice of great many waters. Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. God bless you.
Tomorrow, heaven opens. The King of Kings rides forth. His eyes are like fire. His armies clothed in white, and the word of God cuts like a sword. The rebellion of man is about to meet the wrath of the Lamb. Don't miss day two of The Marriage of the Lamb, right here on Hope for Today.